good morning. Happy Sunday to all of you. So glad that you're all here with us today. I know you're probably like, wait, wasn't he in some Christmas jammies? I was in my Christmas jams. And two things. One, they were really hot, and I was sweating. And I probably was like, I'll probably get sweaty up there, too. And they're probably a little bit distracting as well. So I changed, and so you're welcome. But I'm so glad to see all of you so festive and just enjoying this day with us. I'm excited to dive in to part two of our series, Tidings of Favor. Last week, we kicked this thing off, and we talked about the angelic purpose and how that purpose is passed down to us as an apostolic purpose, where we're called to protect the message and serve the message and prepare for Jesus's return. And we're going to kind of continue to talk about just the angels and their ministry to Jesus and how that correlates to us today. And today I want to talk about the angelic purpose of protection, really protection of God's promise, right? This promise of redemption and salvation through Jesus. Last week we defined and learned a couple of meanings. We talked about tidings, which is in our series name, tidings meaning good news, and we talked about angels and how they are messengers of the good news, and how also apostles are messengers of the good news, and how all those things correlate together. And we also, I kind of briefly just showcased how majority of angelic activity takes place at Jesus's birth. And so we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of those angelic visits today, but let's just really recap. Do any of you remember how many angelic encounters there were in the Gospels? 10. Who said 10? Yeah, you get 10 stars. someone find the stars. Okay, so there were 10, and how many of them took place at Jesus's birth? 5, and you get 5 more stars. See, look at that. You went back to your notes. And this is why it's so important to take notes, people, because I might ask questions, and there might be a test or a quiz that I give you, and you want to make sure you have that. Anyway, so 10 angelic encounters, 5 taking place at Jesus' birth. Now, here's something you may know, you may not know. Do you know who the angels interacted with the most? Any guesses? What do you think, Wesley? Yes, Jesus. Well, you're stepping ahead of me. Okay, they're happening at Jesus' birth. Majority, is anyone, any, just throw out some names. Who said Joseph? Joseph. And it's one of those things, like, you read through and you're like, yeah, I remember Joseph being there. I remember, you know, the angels talking to him. But really, they interacted with him the most. And so here's what's really cool. The focus of each angelic interaction with Joseph was for Joseph to have protection over Mary and Jesus. So I want to give you these 4 encounters. We're going to look at them briefly. So the first interaction, the angels show up, and it's like, protect Mary and Jesus. This is Matthew 1, verse 20 through 21. It says, but after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to name him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So what's the angel saying? Take Mary as your wife. I know it seems weird. I know people might be talking. I know you may want to end it, but you need to, in this moment, trust me, protect her reputation, and with it, protect the child. Second one. It's found in Matthew 2, 13 through 15, and they're told to flee from harm. Joseph is told to flee from harm with Mary and Joseph. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and escaped to Egypt. What's it? Joseph, it's time to protect, it's time to go. Take Mary, take Jesus, protect them from Herod. 3 and 4 kind of happen together. So I'm going to give those both to you right now. Really, it's, hey, bring Mary and Jesus back and continue to protect them. And also, don't go back to where you were. Go somewhere else. So Matthew 2, verse 19, it says, after Herod had died, this is who wanted to kill Jesus, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream in Egypt. And he's saying, get up. Now take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, because those who sought the child's life are dead. So the angel comes and is like, listen, the guy who wanted to harm Jesus, he's gone. No worries there. You can return to your land. You can return to your people. While they were in Egypt fleeing from potential harm, there's a good possibility they could be harmed if they stayed in Egypt for any amount of time. And I think in the back of their mind, they're like, I remember our story and what happened last time we were in Egypt. So let's not stay there too long. Let's not repeat that. And so go back. And then it comes in verse 22. And it says, verse 22, it says, but when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, he was afraid to go there and being warned in a dream. Now, here's what I'll say to you in this one. And if you go back through these four interactions, every angelic encounter is in a dream. In this particular one, it doesn't say that it was an angel, but we see that it was also in a dream. Therefore, we could say, you know what, an angel's protecting them as well. And so after being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee, heading over to Nazareth, which is where, you know, we get all these prophecies coming. And here's what's really, really, really cool. If you kind of dive into these a little bit more, each one of these in Matthew 1, 22, I don't have them for you, Matthew 1, 22, Matthew 2, 15, and Matthew 2, 23, every interaction with Joseph ends with something along the lines of this. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. And so there's this promise in the Old Testament. And now it's being spoken over Joseph on what to do so that it can fulfill the promise and kind of solidify the promise that Jesus, the Messiah, is here. All right, so we got Joseph, most visited, most interacted person by the angels. What was Joseph's number one goal? What was he told to do? Protect. Protect, 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 protect what? Protect the promise. This is a savior. Yeah, he's the savior of the world, but he's a baby. People are coming after him. The enemy's coming after him. You need to protect. And I just want to quickly point this out. This really doesn't go along with my message today, but I want to point out the emphasis and importance of the father's role in the family's life and the father's role of protecting the wife and the child, both physically and spiritually. And we see this take place. You know, Mary tends to get a lot of love and focus for bringing Jesus miraculously into the world, as she should. Amazing, miraculous thing. But let's not shortchange Joseph and the importance of his role, as is highlighted him by being visited four times by the angels. It's pretty cool for us dads to go, you know what? We have a role to play in this, right? Joseph had a role to play in this. Protection, 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 provide, provide, provide. Be there. Do no matter what. Man, to be there for your family. All right. So Joseph was the most interacted with by the angels. Jesus actually beats him, Wesley. He beats him. You had it right, so you get some stars. Take her stars when you after service. So Jesus wins. Because here's why Jesus wins. And you can look through and you can go, and it's like every single angelic interaction, do you know who it has to do with? Jesus. All angelic interactions are about Jesus. I want to show this to you. It'll be on the screen. When Jesus shows up to Mary, hey, guess what, Mary? You're going to be the mother of Jesus. Zechariah, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He will prepare the way for Jesus. Joseph, you need to protect Jesus. The shepherds, you need to go see and announce Jesus. Mary at the tomb, Jesus is risen. The disciples at the ascension, Jesus is coming again. For Peter and Paul and some of the other disciples, despite persecution, keep doing what? Keep proclaiming Jesus. And then we get John in Revelation, visits from the angel, and what's he say? Write about Jesus' return. It's all about Jesus. The ministry of the angels was and has always been to Jesus. Now, I'm of the persuasion that the entirety of the Bible is about Jesus, all of it. It's all a story about him. It pertains to his coming, his life, and his coming again. And again, it lays out just God orchestrating all things to fulfill the promise of Jesus. And that knowledge for me leads me to believe that the ministry of the angels in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and even now was about Jesus. And guess what? They didn't stop serving him. They continue to serve Jesus. The angels are sent now to protect us as we proclaim his name and prepare for his return. And so we have this angelic protection over the promise, over Jesus.
And I want to show you this. I want to show you that all angelic activity was connected to Jesus. We're going to look at the Old Testament. There's this future promise of the coming Messiah. The prophets are out there. The angels are visiting them. The angels are doing all these things. That's the Old Testament. So we have the future promise from the Old Testament. You get to the New Testament. This is the fulfilled promise, right? Because the Savior is born. The Savior has come. And then there's the final promise, right? He's coming again. And there's work to be done. So let me show you this in the Old Testament. I'm going to spend majority of my time in the kind of the Old Testament and showing you the future protection of the future promise. Because in the Old Testament, you have all this angelic activity, and a lot of it surrounds the coming Messiah. Sometimes you go, well, how is this connected? You got to see the pieces. You got to see this thread that goes all the way through from one story to the next story to the next story, ultimately leading to Jesus. So you can put the slide up about the Old Testament activity of the angels, and you guys will see this. And I'm going to kind of just briefly kind of go over some of these things. So the first thing we see is that the angels protect the lineage of Abraham. This is the covenant line, the covenant lineage. What is a covenant? It is a promise. It's God's promise to his people. So Genesis 22, the angel of the Lord intervenes to stop Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. And in this moment, he preserves the covenant line. In Genesis 24:7, there's an angel that comes to Abraham's servant so that Abraham's son Isaac can find a wife. Again, protecting that, making sure that covenant lineage goes on, because you can't have a covenant lineage without a wife. Okay, there we go. I'll let you guys figure that out by yourself. Okay, number two, angels protect Israel during the Exodus. This is a very, very popular story. We know about this. We know how God showed up. But in Exodus 14, an angel stands between the Egyptians and the Israelites, protecting them and giving them safe passage through the Red Sea. In Exodus 23, God promises to send an angel to lead them to the promised land. And so we see the protection. Number three, angels deliver Israel in the Judges. You can read all throughout, but there's two specific stories where angels show up. The first one takes place. It's Gideon, and they commission Gideon to go out to protect Israel, to deliver Israel from the Midianites, and this preserves the covenant promise. And then you get to Judges 13. An angel shows up and announces that Samson is going to be born, and he is going to preserve the covenant people as well. Number four, angels defend Israel's from their enemies. Man, you can see this throughout Kings, throughout the story of the Israelite people. But specifically these two stories, 2 Kings 6, heavenly angelic armies protect Elisha and Israel from the Aramean forces. And then in 2 Kings 19, an angel defends Jerusalem from destruction by the Assyrians. And so you see them. Look at all this. They're protecting, they're delivering, they're defending. And then there's preservation. Because at some point, the Israelites are exiled. But God is still there. God is still working. Two very, very, you know, popular stories, Sunday school stories, right? Daniel in the lion's den. What's there? Angels. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a fourth man in the fire. Angels. And so we see all this angelic protection taking place, and all of it, while they seem like single incidences that take place, every single one of those incidents is connected to the promise of the Messiah that would one day come. And so God's, you know, faithfulness is working through the angels to fulfill his promise of redemption through Jesus. Then we get to the New Testament. And we're, you know, in this series, and I talked a little bit about, you know, the interactions. And so I'm not going to spend as much time here, but in the New Testament, angels play pivotal roles in the events surrounding Jesus' birth, his ministry, his life, his ascension, all of that, underscoring the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. And at his ascension, the angels assured the disciples of his return, saying that the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. So that kind of leads us to now, like the present and the future, and where we see this angelic protection and proclamation of what I call the final promise. This is the second coming of Jesus. And what scripture indicates as you go through, and you can find some more references to this, I'm just going to give you two, that the angels will accompany Jesus at his second coming. Matthew 16 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with who? With his angels. They're going to be rolling up in there, man. And it's going to be impressive. And then additionally, Paul wrote, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So we see the angels are there for protection, and they're also there with a loud proclamation of this is what's taking place. And so these passages suggest that current angelic activity aligns with God's ongoing redemptive work anticipating Jesus' return. In summary, biblical narratives and a lot of theological interpretations affirm that the angels are directly woven into God's promise. What'd they do? The angels in the Old Testament, they protected the future promise, right? The people in the prophecy leading to Jesus' birth. The angels in the New Testament proclaimed and protected the fulfilled promise, right? Jesus is here. Jesus is doing his ministry. Jesus is died. Jesus rose again. Jesus is ascending, all that stuff. And then they show up to protect, proclaim, and prepare for the final promise. And how do they do that? They do that in the lives of Jesus' followers, helping them proclaim the good news, right? The tidings in preparation of Jesus' return. And much like we saw a reoccurring theme in what Joseph was told to do, guess what we see the angels doing as well? They're protecting. They are protectors of the promise, the future promise, the fulfilled promise, and they continue to protect to the final promise. As they protected the Israelites, as they protected Jesus, as they protected the disciples, they continue to do so today. I just recently finished listening to a book called Piercing the Darkness. Anyone ever read or listened to Piercing the Darkness? It's fiction, but about angels and just a fight with darkness. And we just went through our Gods and Demons series. And it was a book that I read when I was in high school, and I loved it. And I remembered a little bit of it, so I just started listening to it. And I just finished it. And as going through the story, and you have the angels working, and they're fighting to protect, and there are demons that are coming against them. One of the things that I love that they began to talk about is how the angels' protection, the angels' ability to do the will of God, and just, this is a fiction thing, but I love what they said about it. They talked about how the saints, when the saints stopped praying, that's when the angels couldn't do the work that they needed to do to protect them, protect God's will. And so they talk about this prayer cover, this prayer cover of protection. The saints, instead of praying, they're gossiping, and they're assuming, and they're pulling away from worship and praise in the church. And so there's this prayer cover, and I love that. I thought that was so cool. Again, it's fiction, but I see how it ties into Scripture and the importance of prayer in our life. You look at Jesus' life, what did he often do? He went to pray. You know, in the midst of all the things he was doing, he was praying. And so there's this importance of prayer for our protection. I believe that prayer plays a vital role in the angel's ministry of protecting us to proclaim the promise. Now, let me show you how this kind of shows up. We'll go to Acts and how the church is praying for the protection of one another. This is a story that takes place in Acts 12. Peter was imprisoned. Herod was going to execute him. James had just been executed. And so in verse 5, it says this: Peter was kept in prison, but prayer, here it is, prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church. And on the night before Herod was going to bring him out for execution, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And striking Peter on the side, he woke up and said, "Get up quick." And the chains fell off his wrists, and he walked out of the prison. And so you see this correlation. The church is praying earnestly, fervently. God, protect Peter. Protect the promise. Protect what you want to do through Peter. And an angel shows up and just pokes the man and says, "Get up, let's go," you know? That probably was cool, fairly cool little thing going on, you know? So the prayers of the church led God to sending an angel to deliver Peter from prison. And so this is so important that we pray for one another. Every single, when we talk about prayers and praises and the importance of prayers and praises every single week, we're all going through things. And whether you see it, whether you know it, the enemy is coming at you in one way or another. The enemy is trying to orchestrate things, get you distracted, get you to not be focused on God. And we all need prayer. And we all need to be praying for one another, for protection of one another, so that we can continue to do what Jesus called us to do, which is proclaim the good news, which is who he is. So we pray for one another. And God will empower the angels to protect us. But not only do we pray for one another, one of the most powerful things that we get from the word, and I love this, man, Jesus prays for our protection. I want to read this to you from John 17, verse 11 and 12, and then I'm going to skip to 15. Jesus says, I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me so that they may be as one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus says, hey, there's work to do. And as they continue to proclaim the promise, the enemy's going to come at them. God, they need to keep proclaiming the promise. More people need to hear about the good news, about redemption, about salvation. God, as they do this, protect them. And I'm going to hyperlink now over to Psalm 91. And I just geeked out about this. I tell you guys often I geek out about scripture and how they connect and all these things. So I'm reading through. And I was doing a bunch of studying, and Psalm 91 came up. And I didn't look at it at the moment. I kind of just wrote it down to look at later. So I'm going through my message, and I go through Psalm 91, and I have all this. And the title of Psalm 91 is Protection of the Most High. Let me read this to you. It says, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, he himself will deliver you from the hunter's net, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings, and his faithfulness will be a protective shield. So we see the protection, right? What else do you notice in there? There's wings and there's feathers. I'm going, wings and feathers? I'm like, well, this is interesting. What are these wings and feathers? And you know, if you go back and you read and you look at some commentary, and I was like, I wanted to make sure like that God was showing me something that also other mighty men of God have come to know as well. This alludes to the cherubim surrounding and covering the Ark of the Covenant. You know what cherubim are? Hey, they're angels. And you hear the same thing, God, protection under the shadow of your wings. And you hear it in Psalm 36 and 57 and 61 and 63. And it's a reference to being protected under the shadow of his wings. Let me ask you a question. In all your knowledge of scripture, of God, does he have wings? Not that we see in the Bible. He doesn't have wings. He doesn't have feathers. But he is the commander of the angel armies. And from what we read and what we know, they do have wings. They do have feathers. And I was like, man, would you look at this? Like this is showcasing to us that God's angels, first and foremost, are there to protect Jesus, protect the promise, right? But as Jesus ascended, sent us the Holy Spirit, the angels continue to do their work to this. They're not just sitting up in heaven and be like, we did our job. Hope it all works out. No, they're still protecting us. And so I'm sharing this. I'm chatting with this about my wife last night, and I'm just sharing the revelation a little bit. And she's reading through Psalm 91. And she's like, this is awesome. And she reads on. And I was just looking at that first little bit. And then we get down to Psalm 91, verse 9, 11, and 12. Check this out. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. Ready for it? For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now you may know that reference. This shows up when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And he says, you know, I know that it says that the angels protect you. And so we know that the angels will. They absolutely will. And what this does for me, it confirms that the angels' protections are the protectors of the promise. They are the protectors of Jesus. And not only that, they are protectors of those who are surrendered to him. Right? When we dwell in his presence. Now, I'm not sure what you believe about angels. Here's my hope today. That you would understand that the angels' priority is Jesus. It's the protection of him, proclamation of him, preparation of his mission. And here's what I also want you to know. If Jesus is your priority, if you are surrendered to him, then that means that you are the angel's priority as well. They will come alongside you. Like if you're for Jesus, the angels are for you. As they served him, they will serve you. As they comforted him, they will comfort you. As they protected him, they will protect you. For me, man, that's amazing. I mean, just think about all that God gave to us. He's like, hey, here's the Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, right? The power of the Most High, right here. And he goes, you know what? Not only am I going to give you the Holy Spirit, my angels will be there for you just as they were for Jesus. It's so powerful to know how much he loves us and cares for us. And we go through hurt and we go through pain and we live in a fallen, broken world, right? And sin does what sin does. It brings death. But God shows up and he brings redemption and he brings salvation. And he says, I got you. He's like, I more than got you. You are covered in the shadow of the Almighty. And it's a powerful, powerful revelation. I won't pretend to know the details of how angels work or when they work. I just believe what I know from Scripture and about Jesus, that if they were working for Jesus in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're doing the same for us today. I want to leave you with a question. How does what I share today about the angels' protection of the promise, Jesus, and subsequently those who are redeemed by the promise, impact your faith and your mission to serve him? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? God, it's a humbling thing to fully understand how much you love us. Enough to sacrifice your son, to send us your spirit, to surround us with your angel armies. I pray today that if there is someone who's been going through it, who's felt isolated, who's felt alone, who's felt attacked, God, would you remind them today of your love, of your power, of your protection, of your redemption, of your salvation. Remind them today that they are loved beyond measure. Help them understand the access that they have to the power of the Most High, the protection of the Most High. Would they go to you today? Would they call out to you today? Would they pray to you today for protection over their heart, over their mind, for protection over their marriage, for protection over their kids, for protection over their family members, over their friends, over their workplace, over their church, over their community? God, will we just cry out to you saying, God, continue to work, continue to draw us closer to you, continue to have us work and move, give us boldness, give us courage to continue to proclaim the name of Jesus in our life, over our life, and over the lives of others. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for fulfilling it through Jesus. Thank you for bringing us into your redemptive story. May we never forget what you've done, and may we always continue to tell others about Jesus and what he can do for them. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.